We want to talk on the subject of character, about individual character, because we've been talking about the will and strongholds. All these things has to do with your mind. All these things has to do with the mind and the individual. And we'll look at the Old Testament a good bit tonight, because these people that were walking in integrity, it wasn't necessarily that the Spirit was keeping them, making them do these things. It's that they understood God, or they understood what was right and what was wrong. And we always say that that must be a standard or whatever. But we know that man was created in God's image and God's likeness, and that man fell from grace. But in that fall from grace, even though man was totally deprived, is in a state of total depravity, there is a remnant of God's image that's still in man. So when it says there's none good, no, not one, he's not saying that man can't do good things or whatever. But these good things are not, how you can say it, things that are inherent in man. It's a societal norm or whatever. Different cultures have different norms. But that remnant of God that was in man, that image that God had placed in man, kind of it's the common grace of God given to all men. And that's why when I preach or teach on Zechariah, I'll be talking about common grace being lifted. In God's common grace, we're talking about character, and we're going to talk about integrity tonight. Integrity. And it's a good time, it's a good time to talk about integrity, because this nation, its leaders, its people, we see that integrity has left mankind. As so far as this nation and its leaders and a lot of the people and churches and things are concerned, there's no integrity. When you think of integrity, you could, you know, there's many a definition for integrity. But integrity talks about soundness, something that's sound. You know, if you're talking about a structure or building or something, the integrity, the soundness of that building, if it's look like it's dilapidated and about to fall or can't stand, that means the integrity has been compromised and it's not sound, that structure will fall. And so we see God's integrity in manifest in some people, and that's why I say it's not necessarily one of those things that's necessarily only that's seen in born-again believers. We understand that born-again believers should manifest integrity, and they should be developing in integrity. They should, their walk should display integrity. That's what we're looking at. A definition of integrity, let's say, is a firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic value. Incorruptibility, in other words, steadfast in something. But we know nowadays that churches are corrupt, preachers are corrupt, teachers, politicians, all society has been corrupted. Have become corrupt, that would God look down and seen the image of man, seen the corruption that was in man, it's because of his depravity that's in his heart. Another definition could be an unimpaired condition of soundness. It's a condition where that person is not on a solid foundation, they're shaky. Another one we want to say, the quality of state of being complete, undivided. A person with integrity doesn't have divided loyalties. They stand where they stand, and they have certain morals or standards that they won't compromise. They won't go beyond those. So that leads to a definition of the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. That's why I say it's hard to apply that to politicians and a lot of people within the church, a condition of honesty. We talked about last week that when you're a Christian or when you converted, you shouldn't lie to one another. Lying should not be a part of your character now. You should have integrity about yourself. There's a soundness, there's some principles that should be developing in you, that character, that being made back up in uprightness and God's image and its likeness should start to germinate in you. It should start to grow until you face consequences of things. Instead of lying about it, you face the consequences of what's going on. So a person that has a high thing of integrity is not a person that's given to lying or dishonesty or whatever. If you want to use a few synonyms for the word integrity, we can use rectitude. Rectitude, the word rectitude. Honor, honesty, ethics. And every government, every community have a board of ethics or whatever. But government now, they're going against their own ethics. They have no ethical standards. Doctors, lawyers, everybody should have ethics that they follow, a certain standards that they would follow, whatever. Virtue, the Bible uses that word virtue. Is there no virtue about yourself? There are not many virtuous women or virtuous men. We read about the virtuous woman in the book of Proverbs. She was a steady woman. She was a sound woman, a woman of faith, a woman that was a godly woman. Decency. Decency could be another word for integrity. And you can see no integrity or decency in the way people dress now, in the way they talk, some of the words that they utter, the standards that they carry. And that's why I say they're collapsed in this nation. There's no more integrity to it. There's no soundness. And we read in the Bible where God talks about there's no soundness in there. And it's rotten. It's something that has to come out of your mouth, you know, out of the nation, out of something. That foundation has to be taken out. It's just like I told you, I had a little toothache tonight. Well, I need to, if I'm going to save that tooth, the only way I can save that tooth is to get a root canal. Take all that rottenness out. The doctor has to drill in there and take everything that's not sound out and fill it. Fill it with something, mortify, deaden all those nerves, and fill that tooth and put a crown, a porcelain crown or something in there. Because there's no soundness in that tooth now. That the integrity has been compromised. We shouldn't let anyone compromise our integrity in the Lord. Fairness would be another word. Or have you heard the old people or some people say you have no scruples? Scrupulous. Scruples is another word we can use for integrity. Scrupulous. Sincerity, a trustworthiness. And I've seen people that have grown away from God. And I told you, it was one of the former members of this church that I said I was going to have to not have, you know, fellowship with anymore or whatever. Because their integrity is gone. In other words, their virtue, their soundness, their scruples, of the sincerity about the gospel. They've compromised the word of God. There's no integrity there. I've got some scriptures on integrity that we need to go over. Psalms 7, 3 through 5. Psalms 15, 1 through 5. Psalms 17 and 3. 18 and 20. Proverbs 19 and 1, Isaiah 33, 14 through 20. I have a great bit of notes for you. And remember I told you, you don't have to be born again to have scruples or to have integrity. Some Gentiles can even teach people that are so-called God's people about integrity, about moral rectitude. That's why I say I stopped following this nation. I've given up. I've seen why God calls his people out of Babylon, because it's lost. Babylon is a term name, a code name for the world. That's why he calls us out of Babylon. read in the book of Genesis where there was a king, a pagan, so-called pagan, a heathen king. Abraham said again of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." So King Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah into his harem. But God came to Abimelech in a dream during the night and said, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken as your wife. For she's another man's wife." She belongs to somebody else. You sleeping, about to sleep with another man's wife. "Behold, you are dead." Now, Abimelech had not yet come near. He hadn't slept with her yet. So he said, now, to all of the church people and the people that's out there talking about these pagans and heathen, this is a conversation God is carrying on with a Hebrew, with a heathen king, a pagan, Abimelech. "Now, Abimelech had not come near, so he said, 'Lord, will you kill people who are righteous and innocent?'" That's the kind of God you are. He didn't have that relationship with God that Abraham should have had. Listen, he says, "Will you kill righteous and innocent and blameless regarding Sarah? You know, did Abraham not tell me she is my sister?" And she herself said, "Well, he's my brother." Two learned Christians here. Two supposedly people of God lying to a heathen king. Now, they didn't put him in a pickle here where God's about to kill him because the Christian lied, the preacher lied. So what happens when your leaders and people don't have integrity? In integrity, what? Listen at Abimelech. He says, "In the integrity of my heart, in the soundness of my heart, in my right, in my heart," he says, "and innocence of my hand, as I've done this." I didn't know she was married. And he gave consent. He said it wasn't his wife. It was his sister. She told me, too, that she wasn't married to him, that was her brother. Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know." In other words, he said, "I know they lied to you. I heard them." You know, God hears all. He knows when you lie. "Yes, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, for it was I who kept you back and spared you from sinning against me." Oh, so now we see the sovereignty of God, that he also stops the Gentiles from sinning when he get ready to. He said he knew that that king was innocent concerning that matter in his integrity, and that he had kept him from sinning against him. God's a keeper. God has no respect to a person. God could keep you if he wants to. Looking at his plan. "Therefore, I did not give you an opportunity to touch her. I didn't present that chance to you. So now return the man's wife, for he's a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her to him, know that you shall die, you and all who are yours, your household." Versions of that, it says a nation of people. You know, because usually normally the leader is reflective of the people. If we have an adulterous leader, if we have a leader without any integrity, Proverbs and other scriptures says that we in trouble. It's the blind leading the blind. We're being led by people without moral integrity. That's why he called his people out of that. And Abraham, that wasn't the first time, the only time Abraham lied. He lied in Genesis 12 and 18. He lied to Pharaoh about Sarah. Remember that? That's the first time he told that lie about Sarah being his sister. We look here about integrity. This is a quality Solomon lacked. Solomon wasn't a man of integrity. You know, sometimes the parent tried to instill this in children, but you know, you're really not accountable for your children's actions, that they will have to give account for their own sin. Each man's going to pay for his own sin. He talks about that in Ezekiel. He's not going to put to death the father for the son, or the son for the father. You will have to give a reckoning for your own deeds done in your body. Solomon wasn't a man of integrity. With all his wisdom and knowledge, he wasn't nowhere close to his father David. As a leader, he lacked integrity. Integrity causes a nation to be destroyed. That's why I say we're in serious trouble. There's no integrity. David, God had made a covenant with David, and as we see the same covenant, we see that this nation had been blessed, but now it's switching to where God's switching it toward the feminine aspect, toward the women having a lot of them, not all of them now, okay? Because we see where the women lack integrity also. But when you start having women as your judges and leaders, there's a sound of lack of integrity in that nation. But that's why more women are running for office at different positions now, because of the men lacking in integrity. A woman of integrity is not going to follow a man that doesn't have integrity, because they know the end result. Solomon was given to women. He was given to a lack of integrity. Let's read 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, 4 through the 9th verse. It says, and as for you, read it out of the Living Bible. It says, as for you, he's talking to Solomon, if you will follow me with integrity and godliness. So integrity and godliness is closely linked. As David your father did, obeying what? Obeying all my commands, decrees, and regulations. Then I will establish the throne of your dynasty over Israel forever. For I made this promise to your father David, that one of your descendants will always sit on the throne of Israel. But if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey the commands and decrees I have given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot Israel from this land that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have made to honor my holy name. He destroyed the Jerusalem temple, just like he destroyed it during the time of Christ, just like he promised in Revelation to come back and fight against the church. God is not a man that he should lie. His word shall come to pass. Read Revelations and see that, and he says that he'll fight against the church. He admonishes them to repent, but we see that battle coming because the Antichrist, the church has apostatized, and it has ministers of darkness rather than ministers of light leading the church. He says, I will make Israel an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. Although this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled and will gasp in horror. They will ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple? And the answer will be, because his people abandoned the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt, and they worshiped other gods instead and bowed down to them. That is why the Lord has brought all these disasters upon them. Are disasters and things coming in your life? Check and see on your integrity. Are you walking in God's commandments? Or do you have a problem with integrity? We notice that Solomon did lose the kingdom. God says he was going to allow two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, to remain in the control of Rehoboam, one of his descendants. But eventually he cursed Jeconiah. He cursed that seed from the throne. He cursed the man's seed from the throne. He says, cursed is Jeconiah. Won't anyone sit on that throne of David until him who is given is come? He was talking about Jesus Christ. But if we notice, just as in America and other nations and things now, this integrity is coming through the women. Jesus Christ came through Mary. It wasn't the seed of man. It wasn't through Joseph's seed. He was not the biological father of Jesus Christ. Christ came from God. He was the only begotten son of God. But he was born by David's other son, not in Solomon's line, because Solomon's line had gotten cursed. It came through Nathan, David's other son, Nathan. Nathan was one of the forefathers, a progenitor of Mary. It came through that line. That's how the seed of the woman got in there. Jesus came through Mary, not Joseph. So as we see now that most men are not given to uprightness, there's no integrity about them. Just as this nation, we see that there's no integrity about a good bit of the men and a good bit of the women. So that line was cursed, that lineage was cursed. God brought about his word. In all nations, so we're not saying America as a nation, because Abraham's seeds will be from every nation on the earth, because anyone that's of faith are children of Abraham. He's the father of the faithful. So this is not a geographical inheritance. This is a spiritual inheritance given to those that are born again, those with faith in Jesus Christ. So when he says there's none good, not one, there's another requirement, a necessary requirement is that even though you do good works and you go do a lot of things and say, Lord, didn't we do these in your name or whatever, you can say, no, but I also said you must needs be born again. You must needs be born again. This is a walk of faith. Life is a walk of faith. So all these other nations that we hear of, and we see a lot of nations on the rise, and we see this nation becoming a cesspool. Our leadership is a cesspool. I don't know when the last time I've looked at national or world news. I look at a little world news because I can see God on the horizon in other nations, but I can see the decline of this nation because of its leadership. There's no integrity there. So we see children of Abraham manifesting themselves in all nations. God has people in this nation. He's had people in all nations. Listen at the promise God makes. Any people that will look to God, any people, no matter where you are geographically, if you're looking to God, you remember where Abimelech was? He was in Gerar. He was in a Middle Eastern country. But he talked with God. God talks with people. God talks through his preachers. And if you're hearing of God's word, if you have faith to hear God's word, because the only way you can have faith is through a preacher. And they can't preach unless sent by God. Any people that walk with integrity will be blessed with of God. Isaiah, the 56th chapter, the 1st through the 12th verse. Now, also printed, you'll see in your lessons and in your plans of the emails, where I printed the whole of the Bible verses that I have here, even though I won't read them all, but I printed big blocks of the Bible verses. But I do want to read the whole of Isaiah, the 56th chapter. This is the blessings for all nations. Did I say of America? Or did I say all nations? Because when he had the great commission, and he commissioned his disciples, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Where? You preach it just to the United States, right? He said, preach it to all nations. Nations can rise up against nations because that's the depravity of man. But he told his disciples, you preach this in all nations, teaching them and preaching the blessings for all nations. Isaiah, the 56th chapter. This is what the Lord says. This again comes out of the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. Be just and fair to all. Do what is right and good. For I am coming soon to rescue you and to display my righteousness among you. Blessed are those who are careful to do this, who take heed to do these things. Blessed are those who honor my Sabbath days of rest. They're Sabbath keepers. We see in Revelation where the people were Sabbath keepers. He says, and keep themselves from doing wrong. Remember he said, with fear and trembling work out your own salvation, that you need to keep yourself from doing that which is wrong? Now, the only thing that's a true keeper is God's Spirit. It's going to guide you and lead you into all truth. That's by the will of God. We've talked about that, and we'll talk about it next week from Philippians. I think it was the second chapter in the 13th verse. It is God that working in us to will to do. He says, don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, the Lord will never let me be a part of his people. God's not going to deport foreigners. God's not going to look at whether you Hispanic or is from this nation or that nation. So by being a foreigner, that doesn't extinct you from God. God tells us to be kind to the strangers in our midst, because we were once strangers in a pilgrim in a land. We were strangers in Egypt. We were strangers in Babylon. So we need to be good to strangers. He says, so let foreigners not be worried, he says. And don't let the eunuch say, I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future. So those that haven't given birth, we know God says the women were saved in childbearing, that some were saved by this and saved by certain things in the Lord. But we see there that these things doesn't exclude you from the kingdom of God. That in the Old Testament that eunuchs were excluded from worship in the temple or whatever. But Jesus Christ is the God of a better promises. There are better promises under this new covenant that Jesus had made with the Gentile. The churches that are very small churches don't say we just have a few people or whatever and that we are dry. No, if you keep in God's word and walking in his way, he says, I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit them. That's a choice that you make to walk in integrity and do that which is right. That's where free will may come in. That no matter what it costs me, it might cost me my marriage. It might cost me my relationship with my friends. It may cost me my relationship with my relatives, my brothers and sisters. But you must do that which is right. You must stand for that which is right. He says, who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me, I will give them within the walls of my house. I am a merle and a name far greater than sons and daughters could give. Your children couldn't give you this greater name. Couldn't nobody do this for you? What God, he's going to give you a new name. God's going to put his blessing upon us. He says, for the name I give them is an everlasting one. It will never disappear. So we all looking for that new name by walking in God's way. I will also bless the foreigners who commit themselves to me. God, like I said, God's not like man. He doesn't distinguish among nationalities. He's calling those. That's why he even changed Abraham's name. It became a melting pot. His name was Abram. But now he's Abraham. That means father of many nations. See, we're not just trying to make one nation great here. We're making all nations great because we all want. That's the true unity of spirit. We must walk in the unity of the faith and unity of the spirit until we come into one body. We must keep that unity. Who serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest, and who hold fast to my covenant, I will bring them to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, and fill them with joy in my house of prayer. You remember, the whole earth shall be Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, it's not geographical. It'll comprise the whole nation, the whole world. It won't be just this little body mass over there across the water anyway. That's why, as the saying of the sea, we can't count the blessings of the count inheritance of Abraham. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Not just some nations, all nations. For the sovereign Lord who brings back the outcasts of Israel says, I will bring others too beside my people. You hear what he's saying? I will bring others. You remember Jesus said, I got sheep of another fold. Those I must bring also. So we're listening to what God says here about his integrity. That's who the author of integrity is. That's who everybody looks to for what true integrity is. The sinful leaders are being condemned. Come, wild animals of the field. Come, wild animals of the forest. Come and devour my people. For the leaders of my people, the Lord's watchmen, his shepherds, are blind in ignorance. In other words, he's telling other governments, he's telling the wicked, and he's telling all nations, come and destroy these nations, these leaders, these people that say they are my people, come in and destroy them. He called them into Jerusalem to take his people captive. Any nation, any people that's not following God must necessarily fall by the word of God. God says, be not moved, be not fearful, for the heathen will soon be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon pass away.
Yes.
He said his leaders and shepherds are blind and ignorant. You know, that's a hard. He says, the blind lead the blind, they all shall fall in the ditch. And he's not willing that his people be ignorant. They're like silent watchdogs. They give no warning when danger comes. Everybody's looking at monetary thing. What's the stock market doing? What's my bank account doing? How much I'm going? They will say, peace, peace. They're going to have to be making money and doing everything. Everything's going to be nice. And the bottom's going to fall out of it because they're not listening at the word of God. What man says is not important, but what God says is what's important. They love to lie around sleeping and dreaming. They're like greedy dogs, they're never satisfied. They are ignorant shepherds, all following their own path and intent on personal gain. That's all your leaders do. Promise you personal gain, promise you all the money, promise you all the things in the world. I want to listen at this leader of mine, though. This one that tells me, don't worry about all that other stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come, they say, let us get some wine and have a party. Let's all get drunk. Then tomorrow we'll do it again and have an even bigger party. They love to party and have fun and do great things. We want to look at divine support for the integrity that the saints have. This is a psalm of David, the 41st psalm. We look in, do y'all look for support from God, divine support? That's why when we take communion and everything, we know that we're unworthy, that we need God to help us. We can't do it without God. But through Christ, we can do all things. It says, but you, O Lord, be gracious to me and restore me to health, so that I may repay them. By this I know that you are favor and delight in me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity. How does he hold you? In your integrity. You must be walking in integrity. I've overcome a great many illnesses. Any of y'all been sick and people try to say this and say that about you, but God brings you through all those illnesses? People talk about you and you own this and doing that. But he's not going to let that enemy rejoice over you long, David says. He bring you through there. You know how good God is. That you got support from a divine source. And you set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord. All day I'm sitting in the presence of God. I'm thinking of God. My wife hit me all in the other room. People be seeing me and asking me what's so funny. Why I'm so happy. Why the joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. He had given me peace in the midst of the storms. All things be falling down around me, but he gives you peace because there is another day. The God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, from age to the next and forever. Amen and amen. So, what does God do for people with integrity or do for his people? He gave them leaders after their own hearts. He gave David, if you read in Jeremiah, he gave people pastors and leaders after their own heart, after their own similitude. So I think we're in a problem. We're in a pickle here as a nation. If this is the type of leadership God gives us, that's after our own heart, that has no moral integrity, that has no rectitude. that has no ethics. That's why I said the nation is in a dilemma. If he's giving us leaders after our own heart, in other words, that leader reflects what the nation is, he's then turned us over to our own devices. Reprobate minds. That's what happened to Judah. They were turned over to their own devices. That's what happened. Solomon lost the kingdom because he was doing things God told him not to. He wasn't fully committed to God's word. And it started falling down around him. Listen at the psalmist in Psalm 78, 70 through 78. He says, he also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from tending the ewes with nursing young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So David shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. Wouldn't you like to be led by David? You know, David is a type of Christ. David is a type of Christ. The Davidic covenant, that Davidic covenant is a human covenant. Because you remember I told you he made that covenant with David. And I told you that Mary, and through that seed, Jesus Christ, that Christ was redeeming a people to serve him here on the king on the earth. Human people changed by the word of God, changed into the image and likeness of God, having the testimony of Jesus Christ, walking in his likeness, walking in his image, his uprightness, his integrity, they shall be shaped and formed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's a human people. They call it the millennial reign. He's the Messiah that's going to sit on that throne. Wouldn't you love to be led like that? Wouldn't you love that? But see, that's how God is. And he turns those over to demonic urges and demonic ways that are not shaping in integrity. And that's why he says, all that's passing away. There's a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus Christ will deliver up the kingdom. And that's why I say he's preparing a people, a kingdom of priests and kings. He calls us a royal priesthood. We will serve God. We're serving God, but we have to walk that way now. We have to walk that way now. He's in that preparation. It's a walk. You have to be living a life. And that's why I say, there's a lot of leaders and people saying things. But you know what I'm doing? I'm looking at their walk. I'm looking at their life. They're hypocrites. You can preach and teach all you want, but if you ain't walking the walk, it's a whole different thing. You have to be a doer of this word. Now, God's people can see those that are not doers of his word. He can see the hypocrites. He's going to reveal it to them. Listen at this. This is servants with integrity. Now, a lot of times I criticize, talk about Job. But you know, there hadn't been a man like Job, that Job had some integrity. I gave you the whole chapter of Job, the 31st chapter of Job. The first through the 40th verse, I copied that in the Living Bible, I think, and it's on your emails and your notes or whatever. That whole 31st chapter talks about that, why he said Job was an upright and blameless man. Upright and blameless. Now, Job didn't have the Holy Spirit now. The Spirit is given to us for this perfected, and we should be able to walk like Job walked. If you read that 31st chapter, you see Job, he was a man of integrity. Generally, as I told you earlier, a personal choice to hold oneself to a consistent moral and ethical standard. That's what, you know, a person with integrity, you're doing something, they enshrine evil, they get away from around evil people. That's why I say, this person, if you're a preacher or anybody else, and you talking false doctrine, you're not walking, you're lying, you're doing this, I won't sit in your council. I won't stay around you. I get away from around you. I don't want to be in your company. That association, I was looking at one of our generals, a Marine general, that had stooped to the point of lying and saying wrong things and denigrating people, and had led a seemingly good life all that time, but wickedness brought out what was in him. See, Ezekiel said, if a righteous man do righteous all his life, but turn from his righteous way and to begin to do wickedness, all that righteousness he had done shall be forgotten. So if you allow this world to corrupt you, if you allow people to corrupt you, if you allow anybody to change your integrity, you got the problem. All right? Don't let people change you. It's best to leave that person. That's why Paul said it's best to let your wife or husband go. Don't go down the drain with them. That's why if you read Esther, it was a heathen queen that wouldn't belittle herself for the king, and the king cast her away from being a queen. She gave up all that because she wouldn't belittle herself and dance in front of these people and do these. Some people, and that's what I say about these women movements and everything. A lot of these women that slept with men and did all these things to get these jobs, now they're turning with this Me Too movement, this harassment movement. Why didn't you say, well, look, if that's what it takes to get the job, I don't want the job. But you make a bargain with the devil and only later to come back and say, did me that too. You see, that's why he kept Sarah from doing that. That's why I say you need to ask God, lead me not in the way of temptation. Don't allow me to do these things. Let me not walk that way. Let me walk in the integrity of my heart. Job chapter 2, the third verse. Then the Lord asked Satan, and have you noticed my servant Job? Have you tried Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. You can't find that in Job. Job is a man with integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. He has maintained his integrity even though you urge me to harm him without cause. But God's banking on Job here. Job was a man that you can bank on. You read that whole book of Job and you'll see that it wasn't sin that this was about. This was about something else. Job didn't have no sin. God said he was blameless and upright. He had integrity. That's why I told you to read that 31st chapter. He knew it. If anybody was doing anything, that's why I tell you to pray about your life and walk the walk so there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. People may accuse you, but you don't have to listen at them accusing you. You don't have to listen at what people say about you. They persecuted and said things about Jesus Christ. You need to walk in your integrity. Yes. Not walk in what people think and say about you. You have to know the truth. And the truth is what makes you free. There's liberty in Christ Jesus now. Huh? Even though it's in your home. You know, your wife could be a devil. It didn't say that I'm going to save families. It said I may save one out of a family. You read the New Testament and say one going to be taken and one left. Two will be in the bed. Hopefully that's a man and a woman in the bed. Because there's a perversion of the gospel if it's two men in the bed or two women. So we know they're not going. They're living a perverse life. There's no integrity there. So it says one will be taken and the other left. Now the problem had to be with Job's wife. That whole seed, that whole line was cursed. Did you realize that Job got another wife? So apparently that wife had taught them children the wrong way. Because God killed all those children. Remember Job said it hurt him to lose his children? You know, sometimes your children may not follow you. You know, Samuel's children didn't follow Samuel, the reason people wanted a king. You can't be a... You tried... And tell your children what the word of God says and does and try to walk in the way of God. But you can't make them. That's in God's hand. You have to put them in God's hand. Listen at this, what Job's wife said, verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still cling to your integrity and your faith and trust in God without blaming him? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the spiritually foolish women. Speaks ignorant and oblivious to God's will. You don't know nothing about God's will. You didn't sit here and got all this money, all this riches, and been around me all this time, and you don't know nothing about God. You want to receive good at God's hand, but when things start happening bad to you, you want to curse God and blame God for all this. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. But the wife wanted Job to check out. See, the wife was a bad counselor here. He had already destroyed the children. She was mad because Job, probably because God had destroyed all her children. Took everything she had. A lot of people say, I don't like God no more because he killed my children. He did. What kind of God going to take my children? Well, he said, watch your mouth now. Watch how you accuse God. If you notice that he didn't accuse or speak this toward God. He knew better than to curse God. Now, he might have cursed the day he was born, but he didn't curse God. Shall we indeed accept only good from God and not also accept adversity and disaster? In spite of all this, Job did not sin with words from his lips. That's what we should be. We all going through things. We all go through things. But we need to maintain our integrity. We need to choose to follow God. Have faith in him that he's going to enable us. He's going to enable us to walk in his way and in his word. We'll go to Job's final speech here in verse 27, in chapter 27. Job continued speaking, I vow by the living God who has taken away my rights, by the Almighty God who has embittered my soul. I'm speaking and I'm upset. And everybody, like, they would have been so cool with this. You don't get frustrated when things happening to you and going on. So I'm not saying that you will be feeling good and say, thank you for doing it, Lord. As long as I live, while I have breath from God, my lips will speak no evil, and my tongue will speak no lies. That's integrity there. All that bad health, everything that he was going through, he said, as long as I have breath from God, I'm not going to speak evil, and I'm not going to lie. I will never concede that you're right. His friends, their so-called friends. You remember I told you, don't listen to what people say. Well, I go to this church, and this is what my preacher saying. This is what the... That's your business. That's good. But you need to get up and wipe around me. Job wasn't going to ever concede they were right. That's why I told you, I left this minister the other day. I said, well, hold on. I need to go my way and you go your way. I shouldn't have been back over there because I had told you before. And, you know, and like I say, that breastplate of righteousness, sometimes you let it down and you want to try one more time. It's a friendship I've had for over 30 years. Those things are not easily to let go. But God showed me, then I have to let go. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to let go. I will never concede that you are right. I will defend my integrity until I die. I will maintain my innocence without wavering. My conscience is clear for as long as I live. May my enemy be punished like the wicked, and may my adversary like those who do evil. For what hope do the godless have when God cuts them off and takes away their life? Will God listen to their cry when trouble comes upon them? Can they take delight in the Almighty? Can they call to God at any time? I will teach you about God's power. I will not conceal anything concerning the Almighty. But you have seen all this, yet you say all these useless things to me. He was ready for him to go. That was his final speech. Look, I'm not going to listen to y'all. And yet you say, your friend, you're supposed to be a friend, and you didn't came here and talked about my children and said that they was wicked and did all these things about me or whatever. And we don't know why God doing what he is. But Job say, I know how I've been walking, and I've been walking in the Lord. You make sure you're walking in God. You make sure that you're walking in integrity. So, Job was the leader of that family. And that's why a lot of time I talk to y'all as leaders of your families or whatever. Just like God talked to Abraham as leader of his family. Abraham was going to be a leader of all nations. You remember, father to all nations. In Genesis 18, 17 through the 19th verse, the Lord said, shall I keep secret from Abraham, my friend and servant, what I am going to do, since Abraham is destined to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. He says, all of the nations shall be blessed through him. God's not going to keep back from us. You remember he called us friends in the New Testament? He said, you are my friends if you do what I tell you. And he's going to reveal. That's why he gave us the Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. If we would uphold that integrity, we might not live to see it, but God can draw all children to him. God can draw all of those. We continue to pray for our children. We continue to pray. We continue to look for God, because nothing is impossible with God. So God's showing you what to do and showing you to walk in integrity as David walked. And he said he wasn't going to take those two tribes away from Solomon for David's sake. He was helping David's son for David's sake, not for Solomon's sake. It was for David's sake and his name's sake. It wasn't because of him. People think you're doing something because of you. No, it ain't nothing about you. You trying to take credit for something you hadn't done. He says, for I have known a chosen and acknowledged him as my own. If God had chosen us, and he said he had chosen Abraham, so that he may teach and command his children, the sons of his household, after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that what he has promised. Can God count on you to teach your children and to teach everybody to do what's right and to walk in integrity? No matter if they reject it, you teach it. You teach them the word of God in obeying that which God had given to you. We have to walk in these blessings of God. We have to do these things. Now, I'm running way behind on time here. And I got some examples of integrity here. But I hate to go into these with 8 minutes left. But what we need to do next time, I tell you what, I'll save it for next time and go through these instances of integrity that was shown by these different people. You remember the Egyptian midwives? When Pharaoh had commanded them to destroy all the newborn children, but they wouldn't kill those children. Their integrity wouldn't allow them to kill those children. And God blessed those Egyptian midwives because of their integrity. They were going against commandments of the king, but they wouldn't murder that innocent lives. Moses had integrity in not taking anything from the Israelites in consideration of his services. So that's why I tell you, as a preacher or something, I really don't want to accept things from people. If you just pay your tithes and offerings and things, God will take care of me. You know, it's a lot of preachers and a lot of people want to take things from people personally. That's why Elijah wouldn't take anything from Naaman, because he wanted to glorify God. If you look at 1 Samuel the 12th chapter in the 4th verse, Samuel used the same words that Moses said about not taking anything. When it came down to the end, look at 1 Samuel the 12th chapter in the 4th verse. He says, and they said, thou hast not deferred. Well, go up to the 3rd. He says, behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom I have defrauded, whom I have oppressed, or of whom hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? I will restore it fourfold. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. He was a man of integrity. There was never another man like Moses. There was never another man like Samuel or David. because these people had integrity. David said, I can't offer anything to the Lord that hadn't cost me something. You remember when he was offering up the sacrifice on Arunah's threshing floor and Arunah wanted to give him all that stuff? He said, no, I need to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. That's integrity. Joseph was innocent of the charge which Potiphar charged him of, but integrity, he told Potiphar's wife, even if Potiphar not here, how can I sin against God and sleep with his wife? And he ran away. He was a man of integrity. We have to be people of integrity. If we read 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, and the 15th verse, it's where Naboth's servants testified that David prevented any harm from coming to them while David was in that area. You remember he was on the run from the Philistines and he was helping Naboth's people or whatever? Can people testify in your community, in your neighborhood, that you stood up for what was right and you helped defend that which was right? You hadn't held back? Look at Job again. Read that book of Job. And like I say, read all these instances of integrity of the Rechabites in book of Jeremiah, the 35th chapter, the 12th through the 17th verse. The Rechabites, when they took them in there to drink wine, they said, we shall drink no wine because our father commanded us not to drink of wine. They were faithful to their father's commandment. They were people of integrity. If you say you're not going to do something, or God's word prohibits you or forbids you from doing something, Joab's integrity told David, say, look, David, why we should number these people? God had told us not to ever do this. He knew what the word of God says. You know, when you knowingly violate God's word, you don't have any integrity. No moral rectitude. No scruples. We need to have a conscience free from all these things. God's remaking us into his image and likeness where there is no condemnation, that we can stand up. A person of integrity will stand up and defend what they've been living. You will defend who you are and what you are. You're not going to lay down. You will have that authority and say, I'd rather obey God than obey man. If it caused my friendship, if it caused my marriage, if it caused my relationship with my... if it caused any of these things, I must obey God. I have to keep that integrity. That's what Job. I'll tell you a story, I guess, Saturday, about that hermit, about this animal that have this white fur. And, you know, there's a certain thing is, like I say, when you wear white, sometimes you have to fight to stay clean. Sometimes you have to tell people, look, you just stay away from my house if you come around here with all that foolishness and crazy talking and all that drinking and cussing and all these different things. I would rather be by myself. I would rather not be. Solomon says it's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than in the house with a brawling woman. Integrity. Don't sell out. Fully commit yourself to God. Heavenly Father,